are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
For many men, saying no can feel like a sign of weakness, but learning to set healthy boundaries is essential for mental health and emotional well-being. It's about protecting your time, energy, and values. How can men now embrace the power of no and create boundaries that lead to healthier and more balanced life? We are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Darrell Katusha, who's going to help us with this one. Vundisi, good morning. How are you?
Morning, girls. It's been a minute.
Hey, I hope you're good.
Why are you this person?
You've been saying no.
I've been saying no. You see, I learned the art, you see.
You've been saying no. That's the problem. How are you, Mfundisi?
You see now.
Are you well, Mfundisi?
I'm good, man.
I'm also good. So before we get into the cracks of it, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be alive. We enter this discussion knowing that you are going before us. Be with us now as we discuss. In His name I pray, amen.
Amen and amen. You know, when I saw this topic, I laughed and I'm like, these ones, they know how to say no. They just don't know how to say the words N-O, but they know how to do it. But anyway, we're going to be learning today if men can really say no, you know.
That's the first problem.
Yeah.
The first problem is women already tell us how we feel. You already tell us what our no is.
Yeah.
Men not hide no.
Okay.
No is really clear. But the problem is you don't accept it the first time. So we figure out ways of showing you so that you can get it and also understand it. Not just get it, but understand it, that this is a no. So sometimes we avoid you, or we avoid your conversation, or we look foolish so that we don't have to explain ourselves. But I told you no a long time ago.
Yeah.
For example, are we going out? Ah, no, I don't have money. You heard the no there, right?
Yes.
You heard it.
Yes.
But then you will come again to say, so Maya, what did you say? Are we going? In the end, I'll say, no, you know what? I'll see. And then you want to come and ask me to say, how come men can't say no?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You heard the no. You just can't accept the no.
Ish, that's another one there. Hey?
Yeah. So you heard it and you can't accept it. Right? Men are guilty of many things. Sometimes we're very slow.
Yeah.
Not because we're slow. We're logical. And sometimes the I'm excavating the emotional jargon that you've just put up. You're not saying your story straight. You're not straight. You say so many things that you don't mean, and you mean what you don't say. So I'm trying to mine. I'm like a Chinese company looking for precious points in your statement that I can use so that we can move forward. But society itself and its expectations, guys, do not allow men to say no, because a man who says no is weak.
Sure.
That is, whether in church, whether, and that's why women use their feminine touch to get a man to say yes. Hi, Pastor. You're right. I'm so sorry I'm late, you know. But if I come and I say, oh, sorry, guys, I'm late, it's like, no, you should keep time.
Yeah. True.
So it's been, that's how men have been cultured. Society expects men to be strong. And that's okay, because we're built to be strong. We are built to be to go through hard times. We're built to live in logical manner, right? And as we preach also, we tell the young boys that you're a provider.
Yes.
That's what you are, because you are built to provide.
Sure.
But what we were not taught to deal with, I can deal with the thief. I can deal with the robber. I know what it is to fight. But I was never taught to fight with myself. Society makes you fight with yourself. It's called mental health.
True.
I never knew I'd be an enemy, and I don't know how to fight an enemy I can't see. So, in the end, those that seem to be happy are those who say yes. That's why we have a statement, happy wife, happy life.
Sure.
What that means is you don't matter. She matters. And when she says you matter, then you matter. That's why it's easy for women to walk out on a guy and leave a guy in the cold, and all the women will say, you know, you didn't see your wealth, your worth, you know, and you know what? Men are like that. But when a woman walks out on a man, We say, hey, bruh, you didn't have your ducks together.
Sure.
Further creating a situation where men can't open up to anyone else but themselves. When they start overthinking, when they start thinking too much, they are going to put parameters that are unreasonable in their minds. That is called survival mode. Now, if that man is a father, he's going to teach his child to survive more than to live. Living is survival plus feeling. We will never trust the feeling. We'll remove the feeling. And we'll just be fighting through life.
Yeah.
Another thing is fear of rejection and fear of conflict.
Yeah.
It depends. Can you really stand up for what is true? Can you really set your boundary to say to someone that you love, you know what, you're now hurting my emotions? Imagine in an argument and your husband says, Sha, you're now hurting my emotions.
Mm.
I mean, we will stop for a moment and say, dude, what kind of a man are you? What kind of a man are you who is so emotional? Can your husband come from work and cry and say, ah, guys, today work was hard? Can
Goopy.
He?
Mm-mm.
But
sure.
The steering wheel of his car, that has got no heart, that has got no flesh, knows when that man cries.
Yeah.
When I figure very begele, you don't even, 2 + 2 = 16. And this guy is looking for a woman who can just take him down and just feel what he's feeling. Men don't talk too much about how they're feeling, but when they are vulnerable, never use their vulnerability against them.
Mm.
Because he will shut down and he will never show up again.
Mm.
So the fear of rejection is not the fear of rejection. It's the fear of being vulnerable and being abused for your vulnerability when you know you shouldn't have been vulnerable in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So society expectations, the fear of rejection, the fear of being vulnerable. And also, guys, come on, man, wake up and smell the coffee. There's a desire to please. I mean, imagine, come on, man. Hey, come on. Who's the best guy in the room? The guy who gets up and they say, hey, Dan, we don't have tomatoes anymore. He says, no, no problem. I'll send my guy to pick some tomatoes up. Is that all you need?
Yes.
You're at a funeral, and this is your husband. And your mother says, you know, there's no firewood, there's no gas. And your husband says, no, 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 don't worry about that. How much gas do you guys need? Actually, is that the only thing you need? Actually, on the gas and the meat, I bought 3 cows. On top of that, Fanta is bringing in the drinks. Don't worry about that. Don't touch. Who is the man?
Yo.
Compared to your husband, who's sitting there and is budgeting to say, yeah, if you take the car to go and get the firewood, collect the firewood that you never bought, we might not be able to get back home. I don't have enough fuel.
Yes.
Who is the man?
Mm.
So your question, why is it often difficult for men to say no?
Mm.
It's because no is not user-friendly.
Sure.
No is not user-friendly. So sometimes we desire to please.
Mm.
Another thing that you must understand is, where did you practice saying no in your life?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
Who taught you to say no? Your father never said no.
Hey.
Your grandfather never said no. Men at church don't say no. So we don't know where to practice how
to
say,
say
no.
No.
We have no healthy, in fact, we have no role models who demonstrate healthy boundary setting anyway. So how do you know? I mean, how do I write an exam when I've never been in the class, guys? Men have what we call egos. That thing is the same as a woman's pride. That's why you don't talk about a woman's ear. That's her pride.
Sure.
But you can't tell a man he can't. So the fear of being perceived as weak, not being weak, as being perceived as weak. That fear of thinking that others are thinking, is the worst, man. Because you can't even stand up as a man, because you see, if you already know, people know your story, know that you are poor, and then now it's time to discuss monetary donation issues, whether it's at church or in any other space or in a family meeting, they will never bring the conversation down the line because you cannot even contribute to it. So the perception that you get when you're now being served food is that these guys are serving me last, not because I got the food last, but because they've given the best to those who've donated. So you create You know, you create stories in your head that you yourself will end up believing.
Mm.
That's what misconception does.
Mm.
So we have this emotional suppression where men don't express themselves, where men don't talk about it. But when they do talk about it, they're talking about it to the steering wheel, or they're talking about it amongst themselves to their drunk friends. They're talking about it to strangers, and it's a summarized version. How's home? Home is tough. How's work? Wish, what can we do? We keep pushing. He gets home and he doesn't say what he wants, and he says these words, I am tired.
Yeah.
He's not talking about physically, man. He's talking about, when I look at you, you're so beautiful. You deserve to be a princess. You deserve to be a queen. And I'm giving you a pauper's life. I am tired.
Yeah.
When now you're not hearing that. You're saying the food is in the microwave. And your sons are looking at you treating your husband like this. Your children are a summary of the politics of your house.
Yeah.
You get into the room. You guys are sitting. You don't talk. You don't ask him to say, "Baby, what's? Are you okay?" You don't. You don't. You don't even touch that boy. You don't even hold his hand. You don't even put him on your chest to say, "Baby, you know what? Whatever you do, even if you struggle, I'm always going to be here." You don't tell him those things. You tell him that the bills are due. It's the 30th of September. You know we're still owing from last term's fees. Mommy's sick. She's coming. You've always got something new. The boy child goes into school. And the girl child seems to be getting all these equal rights. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just expressing to you why we are trained never to set boundaries. We are so used that we get abused so many times, emotionally and physically. If a boy is dating a girl and is being beaten in the relationship, you'll never talk about it. Because boys don't cry. Boys don't get hit. Boys must be stronger. So they suppress. We suppress those feelings. And we just don't talk about it. So the question, why is it so difficult, is what I just told you now.
So with that point is, you know, as you're saying that, I know we might digress a bit, you know, from the main topic, because you said that, for example, men and boy children, they don't have an example of how and when to say no, right? Because they've not seen anyone saying no. Is that now what leads to some men, key question there being some keyword, some men not being able to understand the words no when being said to them?
Listen, I don't have a role model. I've never said yes. I've always had to say yes, because I have to. I've never said yes because I want to. I've never said no because I have to say yes. I'm in a situation I can't say no, because if I say no, like, I'm selfish. It's like I don't have a choice. And in the end, I start feeling like, hey, man, how come I'm the only one who can? How come no one sees me day one? How come no one understands me day three? You date a girl, she breaks your heart, you gave her everything. Now you're on 50%. You date another one, she breaks your heart, you're on 25%. You date that one, now you're on 0%. Now you're on minus 25%, and you've been dating. In the end, you are going to forcibly make sure that people worship you. You are going to get it from them, because everyone has been getting it from you. You become that bitter man. You become angry at life. You become angry at yourself. By the time you do what you do, you don't know you could have done it, but something just took over you. It's because you've got this anger inside of you, this trauma from your childhood, this trauma from your relationship, this trauma that you've never let out. Women cry, and they will tell you everything that's happening in their house because they heal like that. But men don't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you say no to me, it's almost like you're saying, dude, you are too useless for you. You know, there are some sins that are common.
Yeah.
For example, a prostitute stands on the street because she sells her services. But what happens when you are rejected by the prostitute? You.
You.
One who's known not to reject anyone, but you are the only one being rejected. You. What do you think that will do to you? Everyone else is prospering. Everyone else is moving forward. But only you are getting stuck in this one position. You get it?
Yeah.
How come? How come you're not moving forward? Ah, come on. Can I go deeper?
Yes, please.
You're the only one who's not having babies. Your friends are on baby number two. And as you sit at a picnic with your friends and their spouses and your spouse and everyone is sitting there and they're asking you this question and they're saying, oh, how's all my family? Hey, these children are a problem. And then your male friends will look at you and say, there's something wrong with you. Why don't you have a child? You. It's an unsaid feeling, an unsaid war. And now you go back home feeling like you are useless. You feel like you're broken. And now if you are an overthinker, you will even break yourself even more by saying, that means I'm useless. That means I'm good for nothing. And that's how you will see yourself. That's how you provide for the home. In the end, in order to get some sort of validation, you become so thin. You become a law unto yourself. Your wife is saying, baby, come, let's talk. No, I am the one who decides here. Baby, you're going the wrong direction. No, you can't be telling me that. You become what you need to give to survive, not what you are.
Yeah.
You start building walls to protect yourself from getting hurt again. And those walls become so unrealistic, you become a bitter, angry person in society. And these are the people you see walking up and down. And some become extremely selfish, where they say, you know what? If people don't want me in this life, then I won't be here in this life. And men will find a place and they will do it quickly. The percentage is 90% of men who begin go through complete suicide. Complete, not half, they don't survive. They go complete. In Zimbabwe now, I think it was some stats I was looking at the time. I think there were, was it last year or a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Between COVID and now, 600 men successfully completed.
Yeah.
And then only 34 women participated and completed. 600 men. Do you realize that there are more women than men in this world?
Yeah.
And why are we doing this? It's because we were never taught. I'm not saying teach us to be weak. I'm saying men have feelings too.
Yeah. True.
Men have emotions too, and there are days where you're not going to win all the time. I mean, come on, girl. How many days do you look pretty in a week, you? How many days do you nail it in a week? So if you don't get it right in a week, that means that your husband is also struggling in the week. That means that your boy's child is also struggling in the week. But where do they go and speak? Who do they tell when they make a mistake?
Sure.
Then the preacher stands up and says, and Jesus says, all of you who are in sin, you're not going to make it to the kingdom of God.
Mm.
The whole week, I already know I'm in sin. The whole week, I know I'm losing. On Sabbath, as I stand there, the preacher is saying I'm losing. Where can I go? You talk about women empowerment, you talk about equal rights. I'm not even talking about the patriarchal society. I'm talking about the 2024 boy. I'm talking about the 2005 boy. I'm talking about the boy who was born knowing that women come first, just like how the ladies used to know that men come first. I'm saying the boy child is not ready. We look strong on the outside, but they are not ready to be on their own. That's why we keep on making foolish decisions like binging and drinking and smoking just so that we can get away from ourselves. I told you at the beginning that we were never trained to fight something we can't see.
Yeah.
What is mental health, you people? We're in Africa, people are black here.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, if you had some sort of weird feeling to say, I'm feeling depressed, you were hit. That depression was hit out of you. But the kids that we have now, they get to an exam and they feel low. Who do they talk to? They have a heartbreak. Who do they talk to?
True.
It's not enough to say, yeah, you know what? We've all been there. We've done that. You are growing. Who said I want to grow? So how can men say no without feeling guilty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Create an environment. create an environment that is okay for me to say, oh, Pastor Daryl, can you please come on air on Monday? And I say, no, I'm not feeling like it.
Yeah.
Don't say, ah, but Fundis, you know, this is your job. No, tell me to say no. And I'm not busy. I just don't feel like it.
Why are you
don't
now
put
telling
me in a corner?
How are you telling listeners how we guilt trip you?
Yeah, I know. Like, this is your gift, especially when I see your number, I know I'm finished. So now imagine you are in a house where you are never right.
Yeah.
You're in a house where you're never right. You go to family meetings where you are never right. Mm. You go to work and you're never right.
Yeah,
but a small house is you. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
The side chick sees you. A hybrid of love that is unrealistic. One that loves you without the responsibility.
Mm.
One that knows how to wake up and put pants and put makeup, does not have children to take care of. The devil comes in at our lowest points when we are feeling dark. Ellen White says, once you are always talking and talking and talking, you will win away the affections of your husband. Just like our fathers, if they do not teach these boys to be okay with being not okay, they are winning away the affections of their sons.
Mm.
Those boys are going to grow up angry. They're going to grow up bitter. They're going to grow up abusive.
Sure.
Go and read why Hitler was abusive. Go and read why he was abusive. Go and read if he liked his father. Go and read that he didn't like his mother more than his father. Go and read that he did not hate his father more than his mother.
Mm.
And look at what happened today. He became a tyrant. Go and read about Mussolini and his family background. We are molded by where we come from, guys.
Mm.
What if I'm an orphan and I have no role models? Listen,
yes.
That's why we have the church.
Yeah.
But if the church is as cold as ice.
Hey, Francis, you're going somewhere there.
Why are we thinking like we're in the Titanic?
Mm.
It's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to be all right. It's okay to feel like you're down. It's okay to talk about it.
Mm.
Let's normalize that.
Yeah.
Let's normalize boys saying, I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling weak. Mm. I feel like I'm losing. Let's normalize that.
Yes.
One day we were sitting amongst brethren and this guy came to the table. And all of us were sitting there. We were laughing, man. And this guy comes and says, you know what? I broke up with my fiance. And that was so irrelevant. And every one of us like, dude, that's not even what we're talking about right now.
Mm.
But he needed to talk. And then he goes on to say, this woman used to beat me up.
Mm.
We were shocked to say, what do you mean? He says, guys, I used to be beaten.
Mm.
I used to be beaten so much so that when she said, are we getting married? I said, yes, for my safety. We broke up not because I broke it up. She left me.
Mm.
So there are certain situations where, as you are speaking, one other guy stood up and says, my guy, if you're being beaten up, let me tell you what happened to me. And these are respectable people. These are people who you'd never see. You can't tell.
Mm.
One says to me, I accidentally went to visit my girlfriend.
Mm.
Because I wanted us to go and pick out the rings and the cake.
Hmm.
I get to the house and I find her with someone else. I ask her, but what are you doing? And she says to me, you know what? I didn't mean for you to see it like this, but I need to tell you, it's over.
Hmm.
He says, I left that place and all I could see on the street were couples. But I had no one to tell.
Hmm.
So when you don't teach us that this is my limit, I do not continue with cheaters.
Mm.
This is my limit. I do not tolerate abusive words.
Mm.
This is my limit. Then you are going to breed men who are going to be angry, who are going to be bitter, who are going to be abusive. Men who are going to look for the easy way out. And our suicide rate is going to continue.
Yeah.
Even from preschool, they start developing this resentment. Parents divorce and go separate ways. You don't talk about it with the kids. They grow up angry. They don't know what the boundaries are. Because of that anger, they start hitting other girls in class.
Yeah.
They're projecting. The young girls start saying, I'll never get married. It's a waste of time. Because they saw it at home. So boundaries are constructed when the country is identified. You can't be no man's land and have boundaries. Once you have boundaries, you must have a structure, a president. You must have a government. What am I saying? For me to have boundaries, guys, I must be mentally okay. I must be okay with myself. We are not okay with ourselves. How can we have boundaries?
Yeah.
I don't know my worth. How can I be worth? How can I have worth? I sometimes get my identity from people telling me that, Daryl, you are good. So you remove the people, you kill who I am. So the impact of not setting boundaries in relationships is some people are abused in silence.
Yeah.
The impact of setting boundaries in relationships, you are saying, I love you, but I got to leave you.
Sure.
You walk away okay with you.
Yeah.
You don't stay there for the kids. You don't stay there because, no, she's Adventist, but she's abusive, but she's Adventist. You don't stay there because she's Adventist, she's abusive, but she's Adventist. No, you stay there because I see God in this person.
Yeah.
So when we talk emotional and mental health, guys, we are struggling because men were never taught to communicate how they feel.
Yeah.
But we were taught to communicate what we have done.
But how what are some of the benefits, Mfundisi, of them being able to communicate? Yes, sometimes it may take time. You know, some men have to do the unlearning of certain things that they do. Some of them, you know, they find, you know, these support systems that they get that allows them to set those boundaries clearly, communicate clearly and stuff. Some are blessed, Mfundisi, in a way that they know all of these things. They are born. When they say no, it's very clear. We don't need to even think twice of that, you know. So what are some of the benefits, you know, that men can get from learning these traits, learning, you know, these skills, learning how to communicate clearly and setting those boundaries as we wrap up on this?
Hey, expressing emotions can alleviate stress, anxiety. It also alleviates depression. It provides an outlet, guys. It reduces those negative feelings on the inside. It's okay to listen to a song and feel like, how far from home? And tears down your cheeks. It's okay.
Yeah.
It gives you stronger relationships. Imagine if your husband one day came and said to you, baby, and you said yes. And he says, baby, you know I love you. And you say, I know. And he says, baby, you know what? I had a bad day today. And you say, oh, I'm sorry, my sweetie. And both of you go down and you cry. And, you know, and after that, he feels revived and rejuvenated. Why?
Yeah.
Because he's vulnerable to you. And now you know him at his lowest, and he knows you at his lowest. You know, you become friends more than husband and wife. Imagine if the boy child surrendered his weaknesses to his father. His father will see him and will know, my brother is about to break here. I have to come through for him. That's what God does. Come, let us reason together. It also gives this thing here called emotional intelligence. If men can put boundaries, then they can identify when they are being manipulated, which is what women do most of the time.
Yeah.
Gaslighting. You're the one who's wrong, but you make me feel like I'm the one who's wrong. You make me feel like I'm the one who's wrong for being disrespected. So many times we talk about the disrespect, but we never talk about what triggered the disrespect. We gaslight each other. And this goes for men and for women. But when you are emotionally aware, you have self-awareness, you can regulate emotions. And you will not have passion killing, what is it called? Killing passion. Is it passion killing? Yeah. You will not have passion killing. You'll have someone who will say, right, the fact that she's with another person does not tell us that she loves that person. But it clearly tells us that she does not love you. Walk away. Don't kill them. Walk away.
Yeah.
So it reduces aggression. It reduces frustration. It reduces bottled up emotions, which can lead to anger. It reduces to escalated negative behaviors, drinking, smoking, reckless living. It brings better conflict resolution. Women, you struggle to talk to us men is because we shut down when you speak, because you say too much. Now, your mother's coming here. Now, what are we going to do? We don't even have food. But anyway, it's your mother. What can... Dude. You're saying too much. But you need to calm down.
Yeah.
You will get a man who will say to you, babe, mom is coming. I know you had other plans, and I know we don't have money right now. And I don't want to embarrass you. I only have 100 rand with me right now.
Yeah.
Do you think we can manage? Or I can tell her not to come. Oh, no, 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 don't worry. Remember that other money that you gave me? I saved some bit so we can cover for each other. Oh, thank you so much, sweetie. And then we move.
Sure.
But you want softness when the house is hard.
Hey.
You want angels when you're not living in heaven.
Mm.
So our role modeling for others, when men come together, allow them to speak. When man comes home, allow him to speak. If you have a boy child in your house, allow him to speak his mind, even if it feels feminine and uncomfortable. Let him say, I feel, I think. Let the sister in the house treat the brother with feelings and care. Then you'll have a standard for the type of wife that he wants.
Sure. Yeah, indeed.
In church. In church, men lose their jobs. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
But they can't tell you that they lost their job. Because you are ready to judge. Because your husband just got promoted when I lost my job. But those who are promoted and those who have lost their jobs must sit together in armor and say to each other, guys, how do I provide for my family?
Yeah.
The boys, one goes to private school, one goes to government school. But at church, they must play together.
Yes.
So that tomorrow they are each other's support system. So we've never been trained in summary. We don't know how. When we try and do it, we fight.
Hey.
We say it the wrong way because we have anger. We vent out at the wrong times. We vent out to the wrong people. Actually, we hurt the people we love the most because we don't know how to say it. Because when we say it, you look at me like I'm weak.
Yeah. I think that is where now people say we need to heal. We need to heal. So I'm going to ask that. Please pray for our men.
Listen, girl. You're married, right? You're married?
Yes.
Tonight, when your husband comes home, stand by the door.
Okay.
Don't say anything.
Open just the door. Just give him a hug.
Give him a hug.
Yeah.
And kiss him on the forehead.
Aww.
And say to him, welcome home, king.
I'll do that.
I want... If you want to cause confusion in your husband, is when he looks at you and says, what's wrong? You have cancer? What's wrong with you? Because we don't want you to say stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want to die in your arms.
Yeah.
When you do that to that one, see how he treats the boy child in your house.
Yes.
He will treat the boy child like you need to live long to marry a woman like your mother. But when he doesn't see that in you, he doesn't see that in your home, he's going to fight and fight with people he's supposed to love. You understand?
I get you, Mfundis. I will do that. I will definitely do that.
So on Wednesday, I want a report.
Yeah.
On how it went.
I will
it's
bring
the small
it.
Things that matter. And even to the viewers who are listening here, it's the small things that matter. They do not cost much. And they will never cost a lot.
Yeah.
But just time to make sure you do the best you can do.
Yeah.
Don't fight.
Indeed, they won't. Please do pray for them. Please pray for our men.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. Now that we have had this discussion, it's opening us up to something else. Men, we don't speak. We don't tell our feelings, and if we don't tell you, we don't tell anyone else. We want to talk about the mental health of our boy child, of our men. Give us the courage to be able to say what is happening in our lives. Be with us, take care of us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through.
My pleasure.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.